If you missed that, that is this undercover video that has made its appearance yesterday of these top officials of NPR. And now it's been confirmed that Vivian Schiller apparently also wants to spend more time with her family. The NPR executive, Ron Schiller, is now at the Aspen Institute. And I will be the most amazed person in the world if Betsy Lilly lasts out the day, the NPR Senior Director of Institutional Giving. These people are openly anti-Semitic. It's just an amazing thing. And then this leads us into our guest. When they get to Betsy, Betsy starts talking about, well, we do know about all this birther stuff, but we're not covering it. We're not covering the birthers. And she says, here's this stunning study revealing 51% of the American people have questions about Obama. And she said, we know all about this, but we are not covering the birthers. We're not covering them. Ladies and gentlemen, we have never spoken before, but I guarantee you this one might not be his last appearance. He's an attorney. Mario Puzo is our guest. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Peter. A pleasure to be with you.
You too. Where are we speaking to you from? Where are you?
I'm in New Jersey, Janesburg, New Jersey.
That's what I thought. You're more than aware now of this, watching NPR fall apart this morning.
Yes, yes.
The Betsy Lilly entire piece, if you don't mind, I can play it for the audience to lead us into how the media is covering up any questions about Barack Obama. That would also include Karl Rove, Bill O'Reilly, Chris Matthews, to give you a running list. But it's fascinating, the story of these people who pose as Muslims, and they say they want to give $5 million to these NPR idiots, and then this Betsy Lilly. Like, already a bunch of these people have been fired or quit, but I will be amazed if Betsy lasts out the day. But this is, do you mind if I do this, sir, if I put you on hold and you can listen with the audience?
Oh, yes. No, I think it's important.
Okay. Yes. I'm putting Mr. Puzo on hold. This is the undercover story. They acorned NPR. And this is amazing. I want you to listen to what she, and she's like their top cheese, what she has to say about the so-called...
So, this funder said to us, you know, we would like to support your environmental coverage, but we really don't want to give you money if you're going to talk to the people who think that climate change has not happened. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in politics...
That just corrupts the knowledge of,
right.
of the public, right? I mean,
it's
as though it's not settled.
Right. Well, it is a complicated thing, though. So there's a political question and there's a scientific question. And we were talking to them about support of the science desk. And so, you know, we've gone back to the science editor to say, how do you plan to cover this? And our coverage, if you look at our coverage, you would say that science coverage has accepted that climate change has happened and we're covering it. But in politics, our Washington desk might actually cover, should it resurface as a political issue, this debate. So it's more complicated than saying, I mean, the Obama, where was Obama born? In Hawaii or not? Is he an American citizen or not? I mean, there was this stunning study that came out that showed that 51% of Americans now believe that
51%
believe that Obama was not born in the United States.
Yeah. That sounds like because he spent so much time abroad. I mean, he grew up in Indonesia. And
the Hawaiian governor is trying to change the laws of Hawaii so he can release his birth certificate, which he here
My
before has
is
not
that
been able to.
Political stunt, though.
Well,
kind
but
of a jerk.
We're not covering the birthers. We are not covering them.
Well, what the Bakas? What's
so
his?
There's a whole movement in the conservative group about questioning something that Obama has said as a fact. I was born in Hawaii when it was a United States state.
Okay.
And the group that questions this, some of whom you've mentioned,
they are Republican people.
I will not. We'll stop it there. Like I said, I will be amazed if she's still standing at the end of the day. The others, and including the. Vivian Schiller, who's not related to Ron Schiller, has resigned. I think she's been fired by the board. Again, our guest is attorney Mario Puzo, and I've read some of his work. He, like myself, and this is what I got on to him, he listened to Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. Huckabee's been a clown, telling Aaron Klein on Klein's WABC radio show, no need for state legislators to ensure the future president is born in the U.S., although this morning New Hampshire joins 13 states that are proposing such legislation. All right, Mr. Puzo, just talk to the audience what you think all this is about and what are the issues.
Yes, I just wanted to pick up on what you said about Mr. Huckabee. Incredible. In his statement, he said that the media would uncover everything, that they would do their job thoroughly.
Isn't that great listening to that woman say that?
Yeah. Now here we have NPR saying, no, we're not touching that. We're not covering that. So what does that tell you right there? The media has not done anything here. They really haven't. There's so much misinformation, so many misstatements. Even this whole idea of Barack Obama showing his birth certificate. He has not shown any birth certificates. I mean, we have a computer image on a screen of a certification of live birth, which is a short form document. The state of Hawaii to this day has yet to confirm that image on the computer is a valid image.
Yeah.
They tell us that they have records there, that they've seen a birth certificate, but we do not know what underlying information supports the conclusion that those documents are correct. And the reason why that's important is because there's so much conflicting information, so many statements made by so many people. We've got birth certificates floating. For example, there's a birth certificate by a Lucas Smith that from Kenya, which was sent to Congress. We haven't heard one word from Congress as to whether that document is authentic or not authentic. Mr. Smith was in California in federal court ready to testify, to give a deposition. He's given information about that. But nobody wants to hear from
right.
him. But yet we hear, we accept a computer image of a birth certificate, which is not really the birth certificate itself.
One of the things that I've always, and I had a kind of a showdown with the publisher of the Denver Post last Friday, on that certificate of that they pass around, look, I don't know if you have it close to you or not, Mr. Apuzzo, but look where it says father's race. And this is when I discovered this, and they put down African.
Yes.
African is not a race.
Yes, it's not. Now, they whenever something is put out by the opposition to Obama on this, they scrutinize everything, every little dot, every little period. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody says, oh, well, that's not a race, then they say, oh, well, that's ridiculous. They don't want to hear that. Now, there could be a reason why somebody put African on there.
But here again, when we had this thing with this one fellow, and I said, we have compared and contrasted 1961 birth certificates. They either say colored or Negro. And this is before political correctness. But African, it's like saying North American as your race or, whatever. I mean, there's Semitic Africans, Sub-Saharan Africans, there's white Africans. But why would they put down and believe that I'm supposed to believe in 1961 as a race they put down African? No way.
Well, something we don't know is who provided that information.
That's right.
Now, if Barack Obama, the father, would have provided that, then, of course, we have to look into his mind as to, how he grew up.
But the state doesn't, I mean, I could tell the state I'm Martian. I mean, what difference would it be? Plus, I don't think he was there when Barack was born anyhow.
Well, that's what I said. If he was there and he provided that information, okay, maybe that's the way he describes himself. But if it's an American doing that, like the mother or somebody else, I doubt very much they would say African. That's a legitimate question.
When even if I were standing there and I said, if I'm Barack Sr. and I say I'm Japanese, well, you're looking at me, you're going, no, you're either a Negro or you're colored 1961 terms. We looked at other birth certificates. African's not a race.
No, it's not.
I mean, and they've been able to get away with that.
Yes. And just, again, the misstatements and the lies and hiding behind the privacy laws, that is the most incredible thing that you can imagine. Here we have a constitution that says that you have to be a natural-born citizen. The people need to know who the person is so they can trust him, so they can consent to his being their leader, so they can, give their lives over to him. Transparency, whatever you want to call it. And then we hear these things, oh, no, we can't know who the president is because of privacy laws. That's unbelievable. Here we have the Open Public Meeting Act in every state. The national government has it. You mean to tell me that doesn't fall under a disclosure so that the people know? I mean, this is a republic. We have to know who we're, self-representative government. We have to know who our leaders are.
I agree. This is damning. You did something called a catalog of evidence, which I think is really great work. And what do you believe? One of the questions I always have is, we're working with belief because there is no knowledge. And so what do you believe his life story is? Clearly, and I've written about it, that both of the books, Audacity of Hope and Dreams from My Father, are nothing more than PR stunts. Do you believe that?
I don't know. About his real story.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, I would just be speculating, and basically, the reason why I'm involved, it's a legitimate question to know who the president is, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we know that his father was not an American citizen.
Okay? Maybe, maybe not, though. There's questions about who his real dad is, who his biological. Was it Frank Marshall Davis? Was it Barack Sr.? I've listened to arguments on both sides.
Well, again, that's speculation.
Absolutely.
And we have legal documents in the courts. We have divorce papers saying that he was the father. So he says it himself. Barack Obama, our putative president, says that's his father. So from a legal standpoint, his father is Barack Obama, unless somebody's going to unravel that and come up with all these arguments. But at this point, he's the father. He's not an American citizen. And according to the definition of a natural-born citizen, going back to the founding, mm-hmm. it was a child born in the country to citizen parents. It was a child of the original citizens who created the nation. And then, of course, with naturalization, you can create future parents. Parents, I said, mm-hmm. okay, because they become citizens, and then they have children called natural-born citizens. He's not a natural-born citizen according to the founding fathers and the definition. So that's my involvement. As to what his real story is, I couldn't tell you because, we don't know what we have here. We really don't.
No, I agree. And that's what I say all the time. I know as a practicing attorney the difference between belief and knowledge. And I don't know what to believe. But what I can firmly say is that the two books are nothing more than PR stunts.
Yeah, well, they're written in a very, very literary fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to really dress it up type thing. It has a certain style to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like too good.
Yeah.
It's too good. It's like a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You watch a movie, everything is like, oh, my God. There's always a happy ending type thing. And the thing that you wouldn't expect to happen always happens. It's that sort of style.
Yeah.
So it leads you to believe, well, is this really real?
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know, but I'm focused on his nativity story.
That's a great way to say it.
Yeah, and of course also the definition of a natural-born citizen, because he does not meet that definition.
Let me do this. Let me take a break, get folks to work with traffic. We'll come back, and you will begin to talk about the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1. And for that reason, his father was not a U.S. citizen, and even though an immigrant. We'll take it up there. Our guest on the line is attorney Mario Apuzzo, coming back after Trafficker Susan. 8 o'clock, 8:21. Here's an interesting email this morning critiquing the local press. Other than you, big news on TV this morning is employees of Denver's SEC caught looking at porn while working. Not a thing about what's happening at NPR. Yeah, we've been on it since 5 a.m., and NPR has now kicked Vivian Schiller loose. They have been stung again. We talk about the folks and these guys are so great. And I had a virtual colonoscopy, and March is National Colon Cancer Awareness Month. And the statistics are not good. 1 in 16 of us develop, 1 in 40 die. Colon cancer, second leading cause of death in men and women. That accounts for 10% of cancer deaths. I had this done, and it's easy. And if something is seen, then you take the next level. But compare it to the conventional, it's amazing. There's no anesthesia. You drive yourself home afterward. It's a mini tube inserted an inch into the extended colon with air. It takes about, 40 minutes. I did all the preparation, and I did the recovery. We went and had lunch, and it's just great. This doctor is a special guy. And if you are looking to get something like this done, I would urge you, please, you give them a call at 303-443-7226. It's 303-443-SCAN, S-C-A-N. They're in Boulder, and it is terrific. Please, they're called Front Range Preventative. And you can have this done, 303-443-7226. Doesn't hurt. They don't put your lights out. 303-443-7226. It's SCAN. On the line with us, just a terrific guest. He's an attorney, Mario Apuzzo. He is in New Jersey, and he has put together some really interesting questions about the validity of the president of these United States. And he did something called the Catalog of Evidence, and I think he's right on the money. And again, the big news is that the head of NPR, Vivian Schiller, resigned about 40 minutes ago. So if you would, sir, what are the constitutional questions?
Well, the constitutional question is Barack Obama a natural-born citizen? And that's under Article 2. Of course, then the question is, what does it mean? The Constitution does not define the term, but we can figure out from logic, from the Constitution, how it uses the word citizen of the United States, and then it uses that term for the original citizens, for example, the founding fathers, the framers, our first presidents. They were citizens of the United States because they were born British natural-born subjects, and they grandfathered themselves to be presidents. They were citizens of the United States. But then the Constitution says, however, you can be a citizen of the United States at the time that the Constitution is adopted, but after the Constitution is adopted, you must be a natural-born citizen. Okay. Now, just logically, you think, well, wait a minute. Okay, so we're starting out our first generation. We have a new nation, a product of revolution. We have to know who the first citizens are. They were the first citizens of the United States. And then it just follows, again, logically, common sense, that the children, our founding fathers, our framers are telling us the children are going to be now the natural-born citizens because that's in the future. See, in other words, a grandfather clause gives you a lesser standard in the past. It's easier to meet. But then it makes a tougher standard for the future. So that's why you grandfather things in, because you don't want to prejudice the people who came before. You don't want to, like, exclude them because they were, like, you know, victims of circumstance, so to speak. Okay? But in the future, people know, people are on notice, we're going to have a tougher standard. So that's why it became the children of the citizens. That's the natural-born citizen clause. We have documents going back to that period of time. David Ramsey, he was a historian back then. He did a dissertation on citizenship in 1789, and he defines what birthright citizenship is. Now, we throw that word around, you know, when I talk about the 14th Amendment. Oh, birthright citizenship, birthright citizenship. Well, birthright citizenship has different parts to it. It's not just birth. It's birth, you know, in a place and also to people. You know, you can't be born in space, like in nothing, right? So you're born in a place. And also, you're not just born out of the air. You're born to people. So that's, you know, the concept of birth has those elements to it. And going back, again, we have a U.S. Supreme Court decisions, starting with Chief Justice John Marshall in a case, the Venus 1814. He hits upon Vattel. Vattel was a writer. He was a Swiss origin. He wrote a book called The Law of Nations, and that became, you know, quote-unquote, a Bible for the founding generation studying natural law, the law of nations. They basically justified the revolution through natural law, the law of nations, Vattel's treatise. They used it to write the Constitution, our form of government. They studied all the ancient forms of government going back to the Greek Republic, the Roman Republic, all the different texts and books. And that was the mindset of that generation. And they put their trust in the law of nature and nature's God. I mean, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, it talks about nature and nature's God. That was the law that they relied upon. The English common law continued in the states because we had to continue operating a civil society. But on the federal level, there was no more English common law. It became new law. It became the law of nations, became the Constitution, and then it became whatever Congress was going to pass as law. That was going to be the law of the United States. And then our statutes, our initial statutes, 1790, 1795, 1802, these are naturalization statutes. They clearly say that a child born to an alien, he'll become a citizen when the father becomes a citizen. It doesn't say whether born in the United States or born abroad. You know, if a person, if a man, back then it was, you know, there was a big thing about men and women, but once the parents became citizens, the children became citizens. Those were our early naturalization laws. It didn't matter where the child was born. It's only afterwards, with the decision of Wong Kim Ark in 1898, that's when we get the U.S. Supreme Court telling us, no, if a child is born in America, it doesn't matter if his parents are aliens. As long as they're domiciled, they're residing in the United States, they're not working for a diplomatic function, you know, like you're not a diplomat of some sort, you're not part of some invading army or something, you know, it doesn't matter that your parents are aliens, that child is a citizen of the United States. Now, there goes that word again, citizen of the United States. In other words, just like the founding fathers, they were citizens of the United States. The court never said natural-born citizen. The 14th Amendment doesn't say natural-born citizen, because the battle in America has been who will be admitted to membership. Membership is initial membership. Okay, that is the battle that we've had. We've had it with African-Americans, you know, like back in the 1800s.
Sure.
With Dred Scott,
sure.
When the court said that blacks, even if freed, could not be citizens. Mm-hmm. And then we had the Civil Rights Act that corrected that in 1866. And then 1868, we have the 14th Amendment. Mm-hmm. But okay, then we had the Chinese problem, the Asians. Okay, then we had the American Indians. Mm-hmm. All those battles were for membership to American society. Okay, as an initial level, just like our founding fathers, they became members of American society. That was the battle. The battle was never over a natural-born citizen. We knew who that was. The court, Minor versus Happersat, in 1875, told us that a natural-born citizen is a child born in the country to citizen parents. No doubt, the court said there's no doubt. The doubts were who was going to be the citizen. In other words, who's going to be the parent? Because you got to have a parent before you have a child. And that's where the battle's been. But the confusion occurs when people, commentators, lawyers, judges, courts, whatever, they mix the two. They mix a natural-born citizen with a citizen. You know, they mix it. I mean, that's not the thing.
I'm in a traffic break. Mr. Puzo, I want to hang on.
Yes.
An attorney, great lecturer. We're talking about the eligibility issue again. And the topic is the lack of constitutional eligibility, perhaps, of President Barack Obama. It's a Wednesday. Vivian Schiller, the head of NPR, and this huge story that's been breaking, not getting a lot of attention, but undercover, once again, they acorned them, and top officials of NPR look like absolute, there's not even a descriptive narrative. But now they're quitting left and right, and the head, Vivian Schiller, has quit. Remember the firing of Juan Williams? She stood by that. It's interesting stuff. Here's Susan. 6:24 before the hour, the end of an email here to me. I used to listen to you all the time, Pete. You were independent-minded. How much did it take to buy you into the dark side? You remind me of grumpy, insane McCain. That's from someone, Vivian Highlander or something. I suspect that Highlander won't be going on the cruise with us. Won't be making the cruise to Alaska. We're going to do this. We did the one in the fall. We ended up riding motorcycles in Maine. It was great, and I've done the cruise to Alaska years ago, and we're going to go one more time, this time August the 20th through the 27th, round trip from Seattle. Prices start at $1,100, and the ship's the Western Dam, the cruise line's Holland America. This is like the setup. It's the best. And Ketchikan, Victoria Island, we're going to see the Hubbard Glacier, hopefully to see whales. You can only book this through Cruise Holidays of Littleton. Talk to Susie. 303-948-8811, 303-948-8811. You can see the rest of it at khw.com on the website. This will be really a lot of fun. I've done it once before. It's like the second best. Going to Russia was like the most amazing cruise I've ever been on in my life, but this is the second best. 303-948-8811. The scandal of NPR is really blowing up now. It's interesting, the people that got rid of Juan Williams now themselves are resigning in disgrace. Our guest is attorney Mario Puzo. We spoke off air. We had never spoken before, so we spoke privately. Excellent on this on the story of, is Barack Obama constitutionally eligible? So I asked Mr. Puzo, given that the media will do nothing, the courts have continued to rule that that every time anyone brings a lawsuit, they just call it, you don't have any standing to ask the question. And then it was turned back by the Supreme Court. And on that committee of the Supreme Court were two appointments by Barack Obama to the Supreme Court, which I thought was fascinating after yesterday. So now we come to this. How does it end?
Well, right now I think we've hit a new phase, and that's where the states have intervened. Again, if we think back to the founding, we had 13 free and independent states. Mm-hmm. The states created the national government through the people, of course. The states maintained their rights in the Constitution. The Constitution gave the central government limited powers. Whatever powers the federal government did not get, the states held back and the people held back. That's the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. Mm-hmm. So here now we have the states have an obligation to protect their people. Okay, that's really what it's all about. The Constitution is about protecting people because we, you know, we're according to the Founding Fathers, we're born with rights. They call them unalienable rights by nature. And then we give our rights away to a limited extent to government. But again, we have a Constitution that protects those rights. And here the federal government is not protecting the people because they're really not, again, you know, that email said about going over to the dark side. I mean, the dark side is when you don't have information. Mm-hmm. And the reason why you need information is to know the truth. So that's what the dark side is.
I agree.
Okay? Right? So now here we have the state's now going to say, look, we have to get information so we know the truth. And now they're starting to pass these bills. Well, they didn't pass them yet, but they're working on these bills where the candidate has to produce documents, evidence that you're a natural-born citizen.
Yesterday, New Hampshire joined as the 13th state.
Yeah, yeah. And this is really, I mean, this is really fundamental. And again, this is a self-representative form of government that we have. We have to know who our people are that we're putting into office. That's what this is for. And yet, you'll have people criticizing this.
Oh, sure.
How could you criticize? That's like criticizing the Constitution.
How many phone calls do you want to take between now and the top of the hour to call you a racist?
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable that the states want to make sure that the person is qualified. You know, just like, are you 35 years old? Have you been a resident for 14 years? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's fine. You can ask that. Oh, but you can't ask where you're born. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's our Constitution.
Well, what's interesting, if that's all that's left is to scream racist, you've lost the argument.
Absolutely. I mean, not only have you lost the argument, but you've put our race relations back 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is so damaging to our race relations.
I agree.
It is so damaging. It is so, I mean, people are just beyond their wits when they hear that the Constitution says you've got to be a natural-born citizen. We want to know, you know, are you a natural-born citizen and I'm a racist?
No, I mean, I deal with it every day, but it's, it's medieval Europe. And you've challenged the church, so you're a heretic. Even though the science is on your side about, you know, the formation of the earth and the positioning of the sun and everything else that we know to be the truth. And yet, what would the church do to someone? Make them a heretic.
And the media is so devious with this.
It's horrible.
As soon as somebody wants to run for office or something, they try to get them to, it's like this swearing, this oath thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not a birther, are you?
Yeah, I know.
You know what?
I'm at the point with it is saying, I know we're right, or at least we're on to the right. And so being called a racist, and again, if you look at the truth, the evidence, the overwhelming amount of unanswered questions, how can you just simply accept it?
Right. And then it hasn't been proven. Again, the state of Hawaii has yet to confirm that electronic image. They've never said to this day that image is correct, that was an actual document. They just say that they have the records there, but there's so much other information that shows that he wasn't born here. So we have a conflict of information.
I like I said, when people ask me, I don't know. My best guess is he may have been born in Hawaii. I mean, to a high degree of probability. But his mother and father were never married. There was never a divorce. There was never the nativity story that he was two and a half years of age when his father left. That's a lie. His mother took him to the mainland when he was probably 3 weeks or under 3 weeks of age, never came back. Finally admits that he never met his father until much later in life. And that's not the story that Neil Abercrombie told.
Yeah, and Peter, here's a point that is missed in all this, okay? It doesn't matter whether Obama, you know, whatever the truth is, it is, okay? That's not the point here. The point is a process. It's a process. We have to have a process in place that we know what we're doing. We're not making mistakes. We have information, and we feel good about what we did.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a process. Mm-hmm. And these people who call us racist and they call us this and that, they called you on the dark side,
mm-hmm.
they're denying us a process of learning information for the purpose of getting the truth. That's really what's happening here.
As a last question, it's whether or not the Constitution really does matter.
Yeah, and the Constitution is a process.
Of course it is.
It's a process. I mean, that's really what we call everything we call due process, because we agree. Look, if you've gone through these steps, then we can accept it. We can live with it. We have elections. It's a process. You got more votes than me. That's it. I'm done. I'm not going to have a revolution. I'm not going to get machetes out and start killing people.
Right.
You know, it's a process. We have to accept the process.
So
we don't have process here.
If you think it through, as one of my dear friends has said, using race as a shield doesn't work.
And it should not be part of the process.
I agree.
I keep coming back to that.
You're absolutely on the money. So how does it end? We're right close to the break here, and I ask you the question. Mr. Puzo, we'll have you back throughout the next, 10 years.
Yes.
How does it end?
Well, it does not end. I mean, we're still in the process here.
Yeah. No, I understand.
And now the process is that the states are involved trying to find out, again, the information, natural-born citizen, that's where we are, and the states have to really stick to this. They can't be, bullied by the media, by political hacks, or whatever you want to call it.
No, I agree.
Paid operatives, who knows what these people are. They have to stick to their guns here because what they're doing is right. It's absolutely right, and that's where we are right now. Again, we have the election coming up, and again, the people now are more in tune with this, especially through programs like yours, Peter. People are getting informed, and they're learning the issues, and that's important to have the information.
Thanks for being on the show. Is there a website that we can go to you, and we can link it up on ours? Do you have a good site on your work?
Yes, I this is my site. It's Puzo, P-U-Z-O, the number one, .blogspot.com.
Here's what we'll do. I'm going to put you on hold, speak with Greg Hollenbach, and he produces. He'll link you, our page to you, and people can bounce off of that. Fair enough?
Sure.
I'll put you on hold. We'll speak again, Mr. Puzo. Thank you so much for your appearance.
Thank you, Peter. My pleasure. My
attorney, Mario Puzo. All right, let's take a pause. 8:45, and we recap everything. 6:30 KHW. Traffic, here's Susan. All right. 8:48, Kaplis and Silverman this afternoon. 6:30 KHOW. Beautiful day headed our way. NPR is slowly but surely falling apart this morning, and we'll tell you why. And this tape is available on our website, khw.com. You can watch the whole thing. And it's, once again, they acorn these jokers by this kid O'Keefe. And it's James O'Keefe who has done undercover videos, and it's Acorn and Planned Parenthood, and it's just great stuff. All right, American financing. We've said it before. If you are looking to save money, which is important now more than ever perhaps in our lives, lower your monthly payment, number one. There are five reasons on a refi. Lowering your monthly payment is number one. You can switch from an adjustable rate to a fixed rate mortgage. You can escape the balloon payment programs. You can remove private mortgage insurance and certainly cash in on your home's equity. Last year, mortgage interest rates were at historic lows, and you're thinking, how can I take advantage of this now? There's an introduced program from Fannie Mae. It's called the Refi Plus Program. Well, I'm you, and I'm worried. 303-695-7000. That's the phone number. You make an appointment. 303-695-7000. They specialize in refis and home purchases, but their offices are at 225 and Parker Road. In fact, your building. You make the appointment, and they'll tell you what paperwork to bring. You go in a short amount of time, they can tell you whether or not they're going to be able to save you the money. Call them, give them a shot today. And again, they're good, good people. 303-695-7000. All right, back here tomorrow. Now, this tape, and it's interesting. I want to get the calls in before we get out of here. But watching these people at NPR, Schiller, and now this Vivian Schiller, and they're not related. She's resigned. And these are the people who, and they were talking about how proud they were to getting Juan Williams. And in this guy's fake being Muslims, and they have a website. They even set up a bizarre website, and their mission states that intolerance to spreading acceptance of Sharia across the world. Frightening, Sharia across the world. And this idiot Schiller, who will be coming here to run the Aspen Institute, says, I think we all believe that if we don't have Muslim voices in our schools on the air, it's the same thing we faced as a nation. We didn't have female voices. I don't know how to break this to him, but the protest by hundreds of Egyptian women demanding equal rights at the end of this upheaval in Egypt to end sexual harassment, they turned violent when men started kicking and shoving and hitting women and telling them to go home where they belong. The women, some of them in headscarves and flowing robes, others in jeans, had marched to Cairo's central square to celebrate International Women's Day. They were surrounded by men and attacked. And this guy Schiller uses this Muslim thing and says it's the same as women. They are unbelievable. Let's see what people do. Let's begin with Jim. Jim, you're on the show. Good morning. Jim, you want to be on the air? Jim. Okay, one more time, Jim. All right, we go to Jay. Jay, you're on the show. Good morning.
Peter.
Yes, sir.
Love you. Listen to you for years. I think what it comes down to for me is you have to choose your battles. You know, we spent 8 years obsessed with the blowjob of trying to get a president out.
I got to hit the button on that. We have not obsessed with it. Please, the guy said something that just couldn't go on the air. We'd be in trouble, so it got blinked. 303-713-8255, 630-KHOW. So now it comes to an end where all of these NPR people are leaving. What I think is fascinating is the part of this where this idiot woman, Betsy Lilly, and these are high-ranking people. She's NPR's Senior Director of Institutional Giving. She'd find that, if you would. And she tells you, she knows about the birthers. We're not covering the birthers. And she also talks about this stunning moment where 51% of the American people having a hard time with the Obama nativity story. But it doesn't matter to them because they're not going to do the story. All right, Sheik, play that one more time. You guys, when you call the radio show, there's certain things you just can't say. I'm sorry. I wish you could say it. It doesn't bother me a bit, but the bosses don't like it. All right, so Sheik, play her if you would.
So this funder said to us, you know, we would like to support your environmental coverage, but we really don't want to give you money if you're going to talk to the people who think that climate change has not happened. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in politics...
That just corrupts the knowledge of the public, right? I mean, it's not settled.
Right, well, it is a complicated thing, though. So there's a political question, and there's a scientific question. And we were talking to him about support of the science desk. And so, you know, we've gone back to the science editor to say, how do you plan to cover this? And our coverage, if you look at our coverage, you would say that science coverage has accepted that climate change has happened and we're covering it. But in politics, our Washington desk might actually cover, should it resurface as a political issue, this debate. So it's more complicated than saying, I mean, the Obama, where was Obama born? In Hawaii or not? Is he an American citizen or not? I mean, there was this stunning study that came out that showed that 51% of Americans now believe that... 51% believe that Obama was not born in the United States.
Yeah. That sounds like...
Because he spent so much time abroad.
All right, that gives you an idea. We're not going to do it. She tells him, we're not going to do this story. All right. Here's an email. This is a... just read them to you. Hey, Pete, there's a parody song I'm pitching to La Raza. I know you won't be offended like one of those Jew-hating liberals. I'll just read these to you. Think Ray Stevens covering Johnny Cash's classic, I Walk the Line, but funnier, our hero Peter Boyle's as Cash singing the re-image tune, I Snort the Line. Close up on Boyle shows bloodshot eyes, hint of dementia from three-day coke-fueled birther binge. The Tennessee Three backing, including Jared Lauer, this is the Phoenix kid, on stand-up bass. The classic Southern KKK bigot on guitar, that's hilarious. And a stereotypical drunk Irish pedophile priest on the skins. This parody goes viral and universally loved. AM radio will play it for a solid week. Heck, it's even funnier because it's true. Just give you an idea of the kind of stuff that comes in. We go to Rob. Rob, you're on the show. Good morning.
Hey, Pete.
Hey,
morning.
Man. Morning.
I just want to call as a fan. I do not always agree with you. We define variances on some things. But what impresses me is your stellarness in staying with legitimate topics and bringing people on that understand the true grit of the issue that we're dealing with on different things, presidential eligibility, the illegal alien invasion, and other things. And I love Hispanic people. That's not the issue. The issue is illegals from wherever they are.
What race is illegal? What skin color is illegal? What skin color is drunk driver?
There is no particular skin color, nothing to do with skin color.
Right.
It's a matter of adhering to policies and we are a nation of laws, and that's important that we adhere to.
What skin color is the Constitution?
It is neutral on that. There is no skin color. And I thought it's important that we deal with the dirty laundry of our past, that sometimes the Supreme Court has been incorrect in their assessment and interpretation.
History isn't always pretty.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a peace-making process. It's somewhat unpleasant to view that, but the beauty of our society is that we have an openness of discussion, and you bring the difficult topics to discussion. And it's interesting to see, as a fairly fundamentalist conservative Republican, that the liberals are the ones that go after you so vehemently.
Right.
I disagree with you on points of policy, but we've got to have the discussion, and we need to have citizen participation in the process.
Yeah.
And you and I both have the same friend, and Tom Tancredo. It's important.
But remember, I mean, history is incredibly repetitive, and first truth is mocked, and then truth is attacked vehemently, and finally truth is accepted. Whether it's the church in the Middle Ages, or whether it's the rights of African Americans in the country, or women, or all these kinds of things, they always come through stages. And this is minuscule to that, but the truth is out there, Rob, and we will know it in spite of the kinds of idiocy that we hear every day. But I appreciate. Thank you, man.
Stay strong.
All right, man. We got 30 seconds on Michael, then we'll play the song that everybody says we're afraid to play, which I don't get. Hey, Michael, you're up. Please do it in 30 seconds.
Just very quickly, what I watched and listened to over the last however long is the manipulation of the truth, and that's what this has all come down to, whether it's NPR, whatever it is that's going on. It's when people come up with the truth and they're suppressed for coming up with it, it's wrong, it's incorrect.
Or attacked, or whatever it is. But
over and over again, it's the manipulation of the truth. Don't speak the truth, you'll embarrass us. Don't speak the truth, this will hurt him, this will hurt them.
Everybody, we leave you with this. You were told not to play that anymore, weren't you? Hey, bite me. See you tomorrow morning at 5.
Oh, sí, diez, cuatro, good buddy. Es verdad, ándale, ándale. Nosotros nos consigo yo un convoy.
Was the dark of the moon September 6th in Mexico pulling piñata? Cab over Pedro with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling a lotta. Vamos for bear on I-10 about a mile from the U.S. border. I hear, buenos dias, me amo el rubber duck. Say hello to the new world order.
Nosotros cada un convoy, rocking por la noche. Si nosotros un poco convoy, una vista bonita.